Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the press. Great to have you here with us for this week's first show. We're going to talk about the Waste Management Phoenix Open. We're going to go over our model, horses for courses, talk about our best bets for the week, go over everything around this week's PGA Tour event. Apologies for not getting the show out on Monday as we typically would like to do. This is a bit of a flu game for me. I was hit by a truck over the weekend and just could not get in front of a camera yesterday. It was not going to look good. Still feel a little down, but we'll have two shows for you this week. We'll have this show about the Phoenix Open, and then our second show, we'll talk about everything else this week that we want to bet on, including the LPGA's Founders Cup, the LIV Golf debut in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. We'll talk about the Qatar Masters on the DP World Tour, and then just a few seconds on the Astara Golf Championship in Bogota, Colombia on the Corn Ferry Tour. However, today we're going to talk about the Phoenix Open. It's one of my favorite events of the year. Loved Pebble Beach last week. It was great. Rory McIlroy won, and obviously that was good for ratings. About 3.3 million people watched in total, according to Josh Carpenter over at Sports Business Journal. Peaked about 4 million folks, which is still down from other years for this event, but after a year of just an onslaught of bad ratings data for professional golf, this was at least a kind of buoy, so to speak. But we move on to the Phoenix Open. The West Coast swing continues. We'll head back to California next week for the Genesis Invitational, which is played at Torrey Pines again. So there'll be a little bit of repeating in some conversations we've had from a couple of weeks ago. But get a unique test this week in Scottsdale, Arizona at the WM Phoenix Open. This is the biggest party in golf. Very much remains to be seen if it's going to be a little bit different this year than prior years. Billy Horschel's talked about this. A number of players have talked about this. I mean, last year was kind of out of control, at least from the player perspective. They had to stop people from coming in at one point. They were literally full. They had to stop beer and liquor sales for a while because there were just too many inebriated people. Photos and videos of people just sliding down mudslides and urinating on themselves and all kinds of crazy stuff. And then Zach Johnson got in an argument that is going to be a Twitter meme forever. Billy Horschel was not happy about stuff, although he's a little bit more even keel about things, I think, than Zach Johnson is. So I don't know what the atmosphere is quite going to be like this week. I think there's going to be fewer people, not drastically fewer people, but fewer people. And they've opened up more ways to get into TPC Scottsdale. They've created more spaces for people to get together if they just want to get drunk or listen to music or whatever, not watch the golf. I think that's going to be helpful. But this is still a wild atmosphere between 16, the par 3, which is about 163 yards, plays down to about 129. And then the 17th, which is a drivable par 4, which is a risk-reward opportunity in this tournament. Let's talk about TPC Scottsdale, and then we'll get into the field for the week. We'll get into model and all that good stuff. So TPC Scottsdale, this is one of two courses. This is the stadium course. There's actually a Champions course there as well. This is a Tom Weisskopf design. It's from the mid-80s. It's been reworked a couple of different times. Weisskopf did it himself. I think the last time was 2014 or 15, perhaps, and made it a little bit tougher in some places. This is a golf course. It's a par 71. It plays 7,261 yards, so on the shorter end of PGA Tour golf courses. The distribution of holes on this golf course is really fascinating. The par 4s are all above 420 yards, except for 17. Some of them are closer to 480, 490. The par 5s are quite challenging, 550, 580. They are very much risk-reward holes. And then you get your par threes, which are, you know, 160 to 205. They are difficult. They're not easy. They're critical tee shots of the round. But in terms of the length of the golf course, it's pretty well spread out. It's not just one thing or the other. What you will notice also playing this golf course or watching the pros play it, there's a lot of risk-reward opportunity. You have to get off the tee here. Desert golf is like that. If you've ever played desert golf, you know if you hit it into the sand and the cacti and the rocks and all that stuff, it's going to be a long day. And there are ample playing areas here, especially for professional golfers. But keeping it in play, having good angles on these approaches is absolutely crucial. That all said, you're going to want to go deep here. You're thinking 20, 22 under par. I think Jeff Sherman over at Golf Odds over at the Superbook in Las Vegas had the over-under at 21 under, 21 and a half under, I think was the number. It's 284 for the week. He had a 263 and a half. So 20 and a half under is the number for the week for him. I would take the under. I think the weather forecast is favorable for that. And at the same time, we've seen lowest first round props to have this at under 62. And I don't think that's going to be the case either. I think this is a golf course that it can give up low scores. I just don't think it's going to be set up that way. I think it's going to be set up to make 6, 7, 8 under a very good score, not 9, 10 under. You know, it's not going to bring 61 or 60 into play. I don't suspect. So I would take an over there if it's 62 in that first round for the lowest score in the field. Got 132 players in the field. This is the last year for this tournament to have an open qualifier. It's had 77 open qualifiers, most of them conducted by the Southwest PGA section, and they had their last one on Monday. Three spots were determined. Two of them play on the Korn Ferry Tour. One got out of Q school, so younger players getting into the Monday qualifier and getting out of there. I think there were 85-ish players in the field, so a lot of very desirable Monday qualifier. $9.2 million is the purse, $1.656 million to the winner. This is a tournament that's hard to get into if you're a Korn Ferry Tour, DP World Tour, or Q School graduate because it is very popular. Top 125 tend to take this thing and run with it. We have 30 of the world top 50 competing this week. Scottie Scheffler's playing. You've got Hideki Matsuyama playing. Wyndham Clark, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth are probably the highlight names that are in the field, but a good solid field here this week, especially coming off, have 45 of those players in the top 50 last week at Pebble, taking a week off and then playing again at Torrey, where you're going to have, again, probably about 45 of the world top 50 playing next week in the Genesis Invitational. Let's shift gears a little bit. We're going to move over, take a look at the betting odds to win in this market. I think one thing you're going to notice right away is Scottie Scheffler is basically a 25% chance of winning this tournament, a stated, you know, implied odds of about 25% chance, which is kind of insane. I mean, that's a Tiger-like number. Tiger probably got as low as plus 150 at some points in the most dominant portions of his career, but that's when there wasn't much action on golf. There's a lot of things to kind of think about there. But Scottie Scheffler being, he opened plus 350, by the way. So people saw value at 7-2 and decided to bet him down to plus 305. That's insane to me. So I think you might see some value in a winner without Scottie Scheffler market this week. I think we didn't put those odds up here, but basically look at that market and you probably get a little worse number on these guys, right? You're going to get a worse number on JT and down the line, but you don't have to deal with Scottie. And that's, I think, worth looking at in a world where the implied odds of Scottie Scheffler winning are 1/4. And he's won here twice, won here back-to-back in 22 and 23. Nick Taylor won last year. He likes this tournament, plays it well. Justin Thomas is the other horse for course play here this week, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But going down the board, some guys I do want to highlight. Sam Burns plays well at this golf course, 22-1. Sepp Straka has just been playing great golf, 40-1. I think Tom Kim's going to see a lot of money this week on 28-1. Just that right mix of showing up at TGL, loves this atmosphere, seems to love the TGL atmosphere, so you would think it would carry over. Played very well. Pebble, he's a streaky guy. Maybe that continues. Sepp Straka has played great golf. He's going to tire out eventually, maybe this week, but he is playing great golf. And shout out to my fellow bald guy playing some great golf on the PGA Tour. I think Rasmus Højgaard and Corey Connors are properly priced. They're just not going to see a lot of action. Kirk Hideyama is going to get a lot of love in some different models this week. He does well in ours. I mean, he just gained strokes. And then if you base your model on strokes gained, he's going to look good. And I wouldn't necessarily try to dissuade you from betting him at 50-1. I just don't think a guy with one PGA Tour win is going to scream, you got to bet him. Bet on Bob McIntyre, fine. They're, you know, good ball strikers. Billy Horschel, 60-1. I've seen him much deeper earlier in the week, more like 80-90-1. So a lot of money came in on Billy Horschel because a lot of people tipped him. We mentioned him in our betting article over at golfnewsnet.com. By the way, if you want to be a member of Golf Newsnet, we've changed our membership offer. So now you can get 1 year for $40, 2 years for $70, and 3 years for $100 over at golfnewsnet.com. Get access to all of our tools, modeling, etc. We got a new LPGA model that we debuted last week, did well. Do it again this week. Some other guys to mention, Nick Taylor, 60-1. He's already won this year, plays the tournament well. Doesn't seem to win in spurts, so that may dissuade you from betting him. Matt McNeely, 65-1. You'll see why I highlight him in a few minutes. Came out very well in our model. And Siwoo Kim, 65-1 as well. Just got one of those guys I think sees a fair amount of action because he can win out of nowhere, but he also wins out of nowhere. Let's talk about some horses for courses for this week. Specifically, obviously, TPC Scottsdale, Scottie Scheffler, two-time winner of this event back-to-back. He's been close pretty much every time he's played, It's a no-brainer to like him. I understand why he's plus 305 now and why people would bet into a plus 350 number and drive that down. Sam Burns has played pretty well here, a couple of top 10 finishes. Nick Taylor is obviously one here. He's having a very good year. Justin Thomas is a horse for course play for certain. He, again, last 5 years, he's been in the top 15. He's been playing good golf, played well at the Amex. I don't think he's quite there yet, and I don't like the number he is right now. I think if you have him at 20 or 25, you bet him earlier in the year, then maybe you've got a good number, but at 15, he's unbettable for me. And Jordan Spieth, I did want to highlight. He plays this tournament well. I know he was horrible last week at Pebble, and I don't know what to expect, but he does make the list. So there aren't as many horses for courses here as you might think. Some of those guys went to live between Bubba Watson and Brooks Koepka and John Rahm. So a lot of the players who have historically played this tournament well are on that other tour. Matt Fitzpatrick's in this list. I didn't want to include him. I mean, I guess he's worth mentioning, but not quite the same character as these guys, but is worth noting probably. And the Charlie Hoffman, Billy Horschel are guys probably worth noting. Again, not the same quality of strength of record of these guys, but Billy Horschel's played this tournament well. Charlie Hoffman has. He's at a big number. He does play the event well. It was sponsored by WM for a long time, but it's just kind of hard to back a 47-year-old guy at 150-1. Just not going to be easy for me to do. So look at the past champions. We've mentioned some of them. We had the last six here because Brooks Koepka went to live, so he's not going to be here. But Nick Taylor, Scottie Scheffler back-to-back, Brooks, which was an interesting finish. And then because Brooks got emotional winning, it's like, oh, I don't know if I can win again from the injury stuff. And, you know, that kind of precipitated moving to live. Webb Simpson won here out of nowhere. And then Ricky Fowler as well, which was probably his most emotional win. The tournament where he's been snake bitten and finally got the win. That was a big deal. Model top 10 this week. Again, we go through every single player in the field over at golfnewsnet.com. Give you our top 10 on this show on our website, golfnewsnet.com. I don't think this is a particularly surprising. I mean, maybe Kitayama and Gracerman at 9 and 10. Those are a little surprising, but I mean, the top of the board's not, I don't think, even really disputable. Scheffler, Matsuyama, 1 and 2, they're by far the best players in the field. Sungjae is very consistent, been playing better, had a decent week at Pebble, played well at Farmers. I think you'd start thinking about him for next week, to be honest with you. Sam Burns played this tournament well. Justin Thomas, the way our modeling works, gets picked up a lot from his strokes gained course record, right? And has played well recently, so two things to pick him up. Matt McNeely, 6th. I don't think that's surprising. Siwoo Kim, 7. Wyndham Clark is 8. I don't love betting Wyndham Clark because I feel like he is so streaky and just kind of plays well out of nowhere for no reason and then just goes on these long runs where he can't keep the ball on the planet. It's not good golf. If they didn't play that U.S. Open at LACC, I'm pretty sure he never would win one. And that's not to diminish his accomplishment, but he's just not someone you can reliably bet on, I don't think. Kirk Kitayama, 9th. Again, I don't think someone you can reliably bet on because he only won once, but that one win was at a big tournament in Bay Hill. And then Max Gracerman's been playing great golf for quite a while now. He's probably a little too highly ranked because he just doesn't have enough data compared to some of these guys, but he does have a fair amount of it, so he's no fluke. And again, you can get 11 through 132 over at golfnewsnet.com. And a lot of weeks, you're going to see the winner in this top 10, right? Rory McIlroy, I think, was 7th or 8th last week. I mean, 6th, 7th or 8th, I don't remember, in our model. And didn't have the best course record at Pebble, so that hurt him. Otherwise, he would have probably been 2nd or 3rd in the model, and that would have made a lot of sense. Try to explain the rationale why some guys move every week, I think, is helpful, just in the context of how we do it. I know everyone has a different model. I know certain people like to emphasize strokes gained ball striking, you know, whether that's combining off the tee and on the approach, whether that's looking more just approach play. I don't think that's wise this week. I think off the tee is very important here, more so than many golf courses on the PGA Tour. Sets you up for everything, especially on the par fives, which are risk reward. But everyone has a little different style. Mine is very simplistic, and the reason it's simplistic is because it works. Guys are who they are, and everyone gains strokes differently. And just because they're not great approach players doesn't mean they don't gain strokes off the tee. Rory McIlroy gains strokes like a fiend off the tee, and then when he can take advantage of those, like he did on 14 on Sunday with that eagle, you gain a ton of strokes on the field, and that's how you rack up strokes gained on the approach for a guy that's a great driver of the golf ball. So I think a lot of models, they're not wrong. I mean, there's no real easy way to predict a golf tournament. However, I think a lot of models misunderstand what makes professional golfers great and what actually goes into winning a golf tournament. So I try to keep it simple. You are who you are. You gain strokes how you gain strokes. Let's put it all together and do it in the aggregate and then look at it over multiple windows of time to see who you really are and if you've changed at all in that time. I want to get a little bit more into the field, a little bit deeper on the betting odds side of things. Last week, we did this for the entire field. You know, we had 80 players. We're not going to do that here this week. We're going to go in bet to 300 to 1. You got 132 player field. Eventually, you get to 350s, 400s, 500s, 1,000s. I mean, they're not good. You're not going to bet them with any kind of seriousness. So some guys I think you want to look at here. Billy Horschel, 80 to 1. That was at a different book, actually. So I did want to include that in there. That is still out there if you can find it. Denny McCarthy at 80 to 1 is not playing his best golf. I think he can play well at this golf course, but he struggles off the tee. It's the putting and short game that saves him, that does so well for him. So I would probably stay off of him. Harry Hall's been playing well. I saw someone with Tom Hoagie in the top 10 of their model. God bless you for that. I couldn't get there with that. Bo Hostler and Lucas Glover, I think, are interesting looks. Hostler had a great course record at Pebble, didn't really do a whole lot with it. Glover played well last week, obviously, at Pebble. He's a ball striker, right? That's what he is. He's a bad putter, but he's a good ball striker. And if he can just kind of hit the ball close enough, he's a threat to win. I'm going to stay clear of Max Homa for a while. I just don't like where he is. Andrew Novak, I am going to play this week at 90 to 1. He's been playing well, very unassuming. I don't think it bothers him when he's in contention. I don't think crowds bother him. I think he's an interesting guy to look at here. Lee Hodges was an interesting sweat for three rounds last week at Pebble Beach. He was 160 to 1. Obviously didn't get there. The world number two did, or world number three did. But nevertheless, I think he's an interesting play here again this week, just playing solid golf. And this number isn't as good, but it's worth looking at. So people are going to like Gary Woodland this week, gaining strokes off the tee. That's going to go a long way on this golf course. Seems to like playing here. I tend to not bet Gary Woodland, but I understand the thought process. Jake Knapp, if you got him earlier in the year before the Amex, you could have had him at 250 to 1. He's 125 to 1 now. I don't like that as much. If you go shop around, find closer to 200, get in there. I would do that. Charlie Hoffman seeing some action, 100 to 1, 150 to 1, depending on the book. Once you kind of get down to this range, it kind of depends on the prerogative of the book, whether they're also American or offshore, where you can get some of these numbers a little bit better just because they don't see as much action on these guys, so they don't really care. The odds of Charlie Hoffman hitting at all are not good. So they'll give you 150 to 1 at $10 or $20, and if it pays off, they're going to do just fine because they're going to win everything else. Eric Cole's kind of interesting. I would stay away from him here, I think. Daniel Berger is starting to get back to his better golf, but I'm going to stay away from him. Doug Gim, I do like his game a lot and is almost worth a bet here at 125 to 1. I know some people are going to like Nico Echeverria this week, 150 to 1, and I can support that. I'm fine with that. And then some of these longer shots that I guess we'd have cut it off at 200 to 1, said not 300 to 1. However, I think some guys that are worth looking at here. Frankie Sapp in the third, I love. He drives the hell out of the golf ball. I don't know how he's going to like this environment, but he does seem to like these TPC-style courses. He could be an interesting player. I think Sam Ryder is worth, I get him more like the 300 to 1. But like a couple of dollars, you know, in the outside chance that something crazy happens. That all said, again, look at the top of the table, and you have a plus 305 guy in Scottie Scheffler, right? The implication is he's going to destroy these players. I don't think you can bet him thinking that. Coming off of an injury, he did play well. I liked what he did. I also know he has the best way to play this golf course among the players in the field that aren't Justin Thomas. And even then, obviously, he's probably better than him because he won it twice. So the win without part of the world is kind of interesting here this week. And I would advise you to take a look at that. Get some live numbers. Love live numbers. It may want to also start thinking about a couple of guys for majors that I haven't talked about here. And I want to specifically harp on Shane Lowry and Taylor Pendrith. I like Taylor Pendrith at the U.S. Open. I like him at Quail Hollow. I also like Shane Lowry at both of those places. He played well there last time out in 2016 when Dustin Johnson won. I really like his chances. Shane Lowry's at Oakmont. Pendrith obviously has played well at Quail Hollow in the past. I really like his opportunity there at the PGA Championship. Both those guys' odds are kind of starting to get bet up a little bit. It's worth thinking about. Worth thinking about getting some futures bets in on a couple of those majors. You're going to start to see that market mature a little bit around the Masters. You never really get great numbers for the favorites around the Masters. You're just not, especially now that Rory's won. There's going to be some money on him. Scotty's obviously decent enough to win another one. Again, going back to back, that's only happened three times in the past, so hard to bet him. But if anyone's going to do it, someone like that. So maybe that's worth considering. But start thinking about those futures plays for the majors. Those markets are filled with money. They don't tend to move a whole lot. Your best opportunity is to get them a month or two out if you can. And if you're thinking about betting the Masters, you might as well look at the PGA. You might as well look at the U.S. Open. I think you can hold off to betting the Open Championship for a couple of different reasons. One, guys change, right? Certain guys do well, kind of be a hot player's market. Think about Brian Harman a few years ago, winning 115, 120 to one that I had shot. Those things can kind of materialize very quickly, I feel like, for the Open Championship. U.S. Open, I feel like, is, especially this year being Oakmont, this is a place where you've got to really be able to bang it around. It has been redone, right? Gil Hanse came in and redid some things, but it's still going to be an extremely challenging golf course. It's still going to ask a lot of the players. USGA is going to make it hard because it's Oakmont, and that's what the membership wants. That's what the USGA wants at Oakmont. So start thinking about guys that can just kind of grind out those tournaments where it's really hard to score. Shane Lowry is one of those guys. I don't know that Taylor Pendrith can win a U.S. Open, but he's got the length and he's playing pretty well. I think he's worth a look for the U.S. Open as well. All right, that's going to do it for us today on this show. Appreciate you watching. Back with another show for the rest of the week. We're going to talk about the rest of the week's event, the LPGA Founders Cup, the Qatar Masters, LIV Golf Riyadh, the Star Golf Championship in Bogota. So plenty to talk about there. Catch us for a second show. You can watch us on Golf News Net TV, available on our Roku app, as well as our website, golfnewsnet.com, free cast, free live sports. You can also watch this on our YouTube channel in full and catch us as an audio podcast as well. Talk to you in the next one. Thanks so much. See you next time on The Press.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.